what you gonna do, brother? We about to run wild with a style like no other. So somebody call Brodus Clay mother and tell her Richard runs on the men like Ed Lover and Doc Dre. What Scott say, what they hang on every word like it's something that the Rock say. No JR, but they talking wrestling. We bring the noise with the boys, so we Dalton Castlin. So masculine, oozing machismo, mutton chop shop, Gran Turismo. No free throws, snarl hoops and heels. It's D-Rod's retirement, give me the super feels. Straight shoot is real. Drop a pipe bomb, get rid of the bull like the Rock's right arm. So stay calm, tranquilo, I'll go Naito and give him destino. And we know that you chumps ain't ready for the heartbreak runs and the Cuban Jannetty. They drop it heavy, tag team it like Teddy. Long go strong with the heat like Eddie. So steady like when Taker walked the tightrope. Spaz like Taz with the mic and a tight choke. Dirtiest player in the game with the eye poke. 1988 Macho Man on a line of coke. These other casts are a waste, they boring. Illegitimate sons like Jason Jordan. And Richard Runs never give him respect unless they going on air with a broken frickin' neck. So bounce like Papa Pump's pecs. Every time they get down, they bound to catch wreck. Y'all don't know nada, they the Okadas. You're the Washington Generals, they the Globetrotters. A whole lot of podcasts on the scene, but Richard Runs running wild is the cast of your dreams. So it seems these two is too sweet. Bullet Club pulling up with schemes to delete. So retreat, we steal, we cheat. But I never lie, I swear on these beats. And these two got some styles for you. But what you gonna do when they run wild on you?
Oh, hell yeah. It's the big dog, Red Tires. And you're listening to the Running Wild podcast. Because if you're trying to run wild, this is the place to do it.
Do you want to let everyone know that you get it? Do you not want to be a Melvin? Well, then listen to the Running Wild podcast. And if you don't, you know what you are.
I'm the last real man, Silas Young. And if you're any kind of man, you'll be listening to the Running Wild podcast.
Hi, guys. This is Mandy Leon, and you're listening to the Running Wild podcast.
This is Sam Adonis, El Hudo de las Chicas, the CMLL, and you are listening to the Running Wild podcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Running Wild podcast. I'm your co-host, Rich. Alongside me, as always, my co-host, Runs.
Yes, sir.
I am way too excited for being very tired tonight as we start our episode. This week, we're going to be actually going over the Ring of Honor Final Battle preview. We'll be running down Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, and NXT as well, and any other bits and news as we go along. And we'll also have an interview with Mandy Leon, so make sure that you guys stay tuned for that one, and you can get her thoughts on Final Battle, Women of Honor Division, and more. We're brought to you in partnership with PWPodNews.com, ROHWorld.com, and LastWordOnProWrestling.com, and we're featured on the Wrestling to the Max Network. All right, so, wow, Raw was a lot better this week. I mean, I think we can both agree on that, right?
Yeah, I mean, not hard to do after last week, but it definitely had some bright spots.
Do you think, so now, you know, WWE week is next week. They're saying that there is a chance that basically the contract that USA has with WWE is that they have to produce 5 hours of television a week. And that maybe Raw could get cut down to two if NXT works this week. Do you think there's any chance that that's actually real?
No.
All right. I guess we can all hope, can't we? Like this idea, I mean, it would just, because what they're saying is that if NXT was on Wednesdays, then you'd, the marketing, like, would even out, like, you know, all the promos and everything they pay. But I
imagine how many wrestlers would not appear on TV anymore. You wouldn't have Finn Balor. You wouldn't have Jason Jordan. You wouldn't, tag team matches would be 2 minutes. And there would be no cruiserweights. It's a lot of time in wrestlers to cut off. Look at SmackDown. You know, American Alpha was never used. There was a time when the women and the tag teams weren't used, and now there's guys like Dolph who just kind of flop around, etc. So, you know, 2 hours is good for the fan, but it also is kind of tough on the talent or WWE in terms of getting everyone on the show.
Do you think there's any chance that they, like, the bubble bursts and, like, numbers really drop for all the shows?
I mean, at this point, it would appear that you know, it is what it is. Like, it's dropped enough, and now it's kind of just at this point. But I don't even know, like, how to read that stuff anymore, because people watch everything on the internet, or, you know, they watch stuff on Hulu, or however it is. So,
I mean, you know, you can basically go to WWE's Twitter feed, and
right.
If I miss any of Raw, honestly, what I do is I just go to their Twitter feed sometimes and scroll, right. And I get to see the best parts.
Right. There are kids who just read WWE.com, or, you know what I mean? Like, so, things like that exist, and, you know, not everyone watches all of it every week anyway. So, at this point, I think it is what it is, but if there ever were to be a numbers drop, I'm not sure it would be strictly WWE related either. You know, I think that would signal a much larger problem in wrestling.
I mean, wrestling certainly feels like it's on the upswing. It's a little bit, it's more popular now. I just wonder how long that bubble stays that way. Are we in a, you know, a series of years where that's going to keep up? Or are we getting to the point where maybe by the end of 2018, things start to happen? I don't know. All right, enough esoteric talk. Let's hit the high points of Raw. I love Drew Gulak. I want to see that PowerPoint in the worst way. I know that we'll never ever see it, but I actually like what he's doing with 205 Live, where what he's doing with the Cruiserweights. It actually made me watch 205 Live this week. I'll tell you. I know that sounds crazy.
I didn't even think about it.
I mean, obviously the big match is going to be next week, but I just like seeing him get annoyed and everything like that. Let's see. I mean, the other thing that really stuck out for me, I thought Roman Reigns versus Jason Jordan was really good.
Yeah, it was, and you know, the angle leading up to it, no pun intended, was solid. And so I enjoyed that. You know, they're definitely pushing Jordan towards that obnoxious kind of heel role, right? Like it definitely seems to be where they're going. So I'm fine with that. I'm fine with what he did to earn the match and how all that unfolded. So it was fine. I don't think it did anything for Jordan, match-wise, you know. We know he can wrestle. We know he's solid in there. We've seen him in the ring with Reigns and all these guys already. But promo-wise, it definitely helped the character a little bit.
Yeah, no, I didn't hate Roman in this match. Oddly enough,
I didn't hate him in the angle, the promo, the match, anything.
Yeah, no, he was. I actually liked it this week, which is kind of weird. I'm surprised I'm actually saying that, but I actually enjoyed that. I think that where I should have started with what I was most excited for. Can you take a guess?
Were you delighted?
Oh, I thought that it was wonderful. I mean, so first of all, Matt Hardy has done an amazing job of social media since last week of really hyping this up. Like pictures of this.
Right, and
go ahead.
No, you know, it came out a little bit earlier in the week that Vince was a huge fan of the Woken Matt Hardy, Broken Matt Hardy, whatever character, and, you know, Matt Hardy was given just complete creative control. So that's exactly what he had in TNA. That's when and why it worked. And I couldn't be happier to hear that, you know, everything is on board and in place for it to be just as successful in WWE as it was in TNA. And the reactions from the crowd the past 2 weeks, I know you were a little concerned about it, but it was there, it's right back, and it was amazing.
I really think that there's nothing on Raw that makes me more excited than this right now. Like, I am 100% bought in.
And honestly, how much better was it hearing all of this stuff after not hearing it for the past, you know, whatever it is, 6 months? Like, it made it, like, so much, I don't know, it was so cool, so much more. It was so just cooler to me, you know, because
you had a break from it.
See this, like, yeah, like, and we got to see it, like, rebirth almost, you know?
See, so now what's weird for me is I basically saw the specials in TNA, and that's right. Almost exclusive.
You didn't even watch him in TNA.
No, I'd watch, like, the compilation videos of, like, you know, right. The whole Broken Experience. Then I saw him in Ring of Honor very briefly. And now this. So I've been waiting for it because I didn't get enough of it, you know? Like, I wasn't watching TNA.
Right.
So this is – I'm super excited. I mean, what is he – what did he call – he called Bray Wyatt the consumer of terrestrial, like, entities or something like that. Like, I just – I love everything about it. I love the – okay, listen. As an English teacher, there's a part of me that just really also enjoys the random vocabulary words that he throws out there when his tweets, when he's talking. I don't know. Listen, it sounds almost contrary to a lot of what I say, but – I'm excited about this. It's so ridiculous that I'm going to love it. You know, a lot of times...
Right, he's just so great with the character. And
yeah.
Just like you've been saying, you know, he picked up right where he left off with the pictures and Senior Benjamin and all that stuff, so...
Listen, I like the Higher Power, awesome. Man. You know, I was a fan of that Higher Power gimmick. I don't know. If you can do it right, and you're probably getting angry here because I've been so against Bray Wyatt, but I don't know, something about Hardy for me really just sells me on him doing ridiculous stuff, and I'll be totally okay with it.
Right, because it's so outrageous and it's so over the top, and it's so not meant to be a serious character, but you know the things that he does with it are just great, you know, whereas Wyatt is meant to be a serious thing and taken for real. But, you know, the two of them, the promo on Raw was just really well done. It was really good, just the back and forths and cutting into, you know, each other's stuff. And I really enjoyed that. And that was definitely a nice step forward with this. And, you know, this is something that's been building since before Hardy was in WWE, so it's a cool thing to finally see, you know, kind of come full circle and jumpstart the Woken universe in WWE.
Oh, it's gonna be fantastic. All right, then. Well, you had the main event. I thought the Absolution was pretty. I mean, I think Paige is. I like that group much better than the SmackDown group. We'll talk about that in a second, but. I feel like they were working a lot better overall. It seems it feels right, where I don't feel that same way about the SmackDown group. But then you had the tag team match where you had the Bar defending against the Shield, and Samoa Joe ran out, and Reigns tried to stop it, but the Bar ended up keeping the titles again. I mean, since we don't have a pay-per-view between now and Royal Rumble for the Raw side, does the Bar keep it until Royal Rumble, or do they lose it beforehand? Because they seem to be getting, you know, getting away by the skin of their teeth and everything like that.
Right, and it definitely seems like we're gonna have a six man at some point in the near future. So I don't know. It could be a deal where they don't really get the title match until the Royal Rumble. Maybe they do something like a steel cage or something like that, which, you know, they don't really need to do and don't typically do with the Rumble, but who knows. So I don't know. Maybe they'll do something like that, or they'll have another match on Raw where maybe we see a title change or something like that. But I would just rather the Bar hang on to the tag titles for a while, and, you know, we go from there with Roman being disappointed in Seth and Dean, or teasing that tension or something like that, you know?
I mean, is there any chance that he's not facing Lesnar and that it's actually a Shield blow-up at Mania?
I mean, that would be nice, but then who the hell faces Brock?
Oh, I have an idea.
Oh, well, Braun could be.
Braun, I mean, that would be so much better. Matt Hardy, anything.
Yeah, Matt Hardy, good luck.
Woken Matt Hardy defeats 43-year-old Matt Hardy defeats 40-year-old Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar might actually break.
He would be, no, title. Yeah.
That like, would be... literally break, you know.
Oh. All right. So, I mean, I'm trying to think. I think that was really, for me, what stuck out on Raw. I mean, you still have the Braun, Kane stuff, which I'm kind of ignoring altogether. I just don't really... I'm not really looking forward. I don't care. Braun's going to win, right? I mean, they're going to face off. Braun's going to take Kane out, and Kane's going to be gone.
Right.
Unless
and
you have...
They're fighting on Monday, so I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't... I will say what I do like is Elias. I'm liking him more and more every week.
Yeah, he's solid. But, you know, it continues... you know, like you said, every week he's just more and more solid and more comfortable in his role and all that. So it's good to see that continue to grow, but I don't really know how high that ceiling is for the character. You know, if it's the honky tonk man type of Intercontinental Champion, or you know where it goes.
Yeah, me neither, but listen, I kind of like Cheap Heat, you know, I do like the podcast, but I do like when the heel insults the town and shit and the craps on the baseball team or whoever just lost, like, I like that kind of stuff. I know, and some people probably don't.
He's really, like, good and different about it because, yeah. You know, he'll, like, oh, well. Now I'm going to have to start over, right? And that sort of thing. So, you know, it's definitely entertaining, and it's good heel work for him.
I mean, I've been the teacher to do that, and I've been in the class and been the student experiencing that, and that's real heat. That's real life heat, man. Like, all right, I'm going to have to start over again. You know, like, you made me do it. It's fantastic. It's there. You don't get more heel. You get super heat from... the good kids when you do stuff like that. It's not even the bad kids that care. Not that there are bad kids. I just mean misbehaving kids. So nobody taking listening to this, write me up for that. Because I'm sure that everybody writing up has got close ties to the Department of Education and wants to get me fired. All right, so that was Monday Night Raw. Now what do we do? Spend 2.4 seconds on SmackDown? I'm going to start.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't even think there's anything. There was a solid promo from Mojo, a good comeback on Twitter by Zach. Other than that, you know, it was what it was.
Yeah, I mean, I like Sammy and Owens, obviously, whatever they're doing. Like, Sammy is...
Right.
Oof. He is so obnoxious. It's absolutely amazing. It's so good.
Yeah.
And I just don't. Where do are we going? And it seems that, you know, Daniel Bryan is kind of on their side. So what's happening? Like, I don't. What is this leading to?
Yeah, someone at work was asking me about this today, and I was just like, I really don't know. You know, I can't even begin to think where this goes, because what happens? They beat Orton and Nakamura at the pay-per-view or whenever they have that match, and then what? I don't know. Or do they lose, and that's even worse. But you got to figure they win and continue to hold it over Shane said, or maybe they lose and they're giving them something else to complain about. It could go either way. And, you know, clearly it's got to lead to some sort of Daniel Bryan Shane issue or, you know, power struggle. I really don't know.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it doesn't matter, either way, if they win or not. Yeah. Is it official now that Nock is his partner, or is it still a mystery?
I mean, he came out to help him, so I'm going to assume.
It would be dope if it was just like Tatanka. That would be so random. And I do like, you know, I didn't love all SmackDown, but I like Rusev and Aiden English together.
Oh, yeah, Rusev Day was great.
Rusev is amazing. And then, like I said, I'm not a fan of Bobby Roode stuff. The Bludgeon Brothers don't really need, I think, to be destroying dudes at all. Like, Do we not?
I'm fine with all of that. The only thing I really didn't like and don't understand is like why we have to make Crazy Mary Dobson so southern. My dad told me to pluck on them chickens on the farm, daylight savings, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, like, what? Everyone's just like, oh, yeah, whatever she said. But, and, like, I get that, but this is a serious heel group. You don't need that comic relief.
It wasn't even comic relief. It's like she was being threatening. She said, I bet you never even gone game hunting. And I was like,
that, and that was bad enough. But then she just started getting confusing and saying things that didn't make sense.
I think she got, I think at one point she got a little. There was definitely a point where I don't think it was her accent. I think she just got tripped up and said something that didn't make sense. That's one part.
I don't think so, because every time she said something, the other girls were just like, yeah, whatever she said. Like, you know, like they reacted to her like she was crazy and just saying
dismissing her
things.
And stuff. Okay.
Right.
I was listening so hard to what she was saying, and then I was trying to make sense of it that,
yeah,
okay.
They were just like, oh, yeah, okay, right. And now this. So, you know, it just seemed like it was just really out of place.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with them, like, pushing that. That's what her, you know, that's literally what she is. That's fine. But then I just think, I don't know, it shouldn't be dismissed like this. And then also, I don't really know how, like, killing animals and, you know, I guess not for sport, but maybe, like, you know, you actually skin them and use the meats. I'm not really sure how her saying that about Brian really matters at all. Like,
no,
why? Like,
it didn't, and that's, I think that's part of the point.
He's a general manager. Like, why? Like, I've never done that. It doesn't mean I can't do stuff.
Right. That's the point. Like, what the hell? Why? What are you talking about, lady?
Like,
that's, you know,
I want to like flip it on, like,
what they're going for.
Being a tech person, being like, I bet you've never even removed an optical drive and then plugged in a second hard drive so you can transfer files before installing the hard drive permanently. Like,
I don't even think that's good enough. Like, it would be like, you know, the 3A translucent BC wire, you know, flipped up to the Nexus Mon switch and then it goes here. You know, that's just, it wouldn't even be English.
Man.
So, yeah, onto wrestling. That should actually be good this weekend.
All right.
Or next weekend.
Yeah, so we have the full card for Final Battle. Officially, you know, I don't know if it's really a spoiler because it hasn't officially been announced, but there is a match that hasn't been announced, though. We'll just start with that one. So the Briscoes are going to face Tommy Dreamer and Bully Ray. Right now, I would assume it's going to be like some sort of no disqualification match because of all the issues that they had. Have you gotten a chance to see the little vignettes that they're doing and what the Briscoes are doing?
No.
So, this past week on Ring of Honor TV, they go to Bully Ray's training center. And apparently it's closed, but then they just walk in, which is great. And there are, like, three trainees, a female and two guys. So they're like, where's Bully? Like, oh, he's not here today. And they start yelling for him anyway. But, you know, but Jay Briscoe, man. He is so good at being, like, threatening and, like, freaking weird and scary. So they start yelling for him. They, you know, he doesn't come out. So then they just beat up the two male trainees while the girl just screams at the top of her lungs, like, call, the police are coming and all this. They go into his office and they see all these pictures of him with, like, the Rock and Roll Express and all like that. And my favorite part was they start throwing the photos and breaking the glass. And at one point, Mark Briscoe, it's like he learned a new word, and it sounds terrible, but he goes, look at all these accolades. He's like, yeah, accolades. Like, he had to repeat it. Like, I learned a new word, motherfuckers. And then they went back out. And my favorite part was that Mark was filming it. So then Jay's like, yo, hold up. Put the camera over there, right? And you assume it's, like, on the phone, right? But then, like, he propped it in such a special place that looked into the ring. Right, and it was like so proper that you know it was on a stand, but you know, whatever. That's just because like I film stuff sometimes. And then they bring in one of the guys, they give him a 3D, and then they head out. So the issues with those guys, you know, started a couple months ago. Bully has been on the retirement tour. They actually showed up at House of Hardcore and like took out Dreamer there. So they've really been working on this angle. And look, I know that people, you included, have told me about watching old Ring of Honor. I've never seen the Briscoes as heels. This is like brand new and fresh to me and 1,000% believable. And, you know, Bully and Tommy are obviously going as the faces, and you would think that they're going to get their revenge, especially in New York. But, man, I don't know, man. The Briscoes seem so nasty. I don't know how they lose.
No, the Briscoes don't lose to Bully Ray and Tommy Dreamer. That would just, you know, make no sense and not do anything for the Briscoes. You know, now the Briscoes put them out, obviously. You know, it's not like Tommy Dreamer is popping up in Ring of Honor any other time. So this probably is the end of both of them there. And, you know, they put that feather in their cap.
I think it's going to be a pretty brutal match, though. It's got to be something nuts. Something crazy is going to happen. I mean, you got.
Oh, yeah. It'll definitely be a lot of fun and you know, a lot of plunder. And, you know, I think after this, we're not far off from, you know, the Guns and the Briscoes or the Bucks and the Briscoes or something like that over the tag title.
I'm almost scared for the Bucks if they have to face the Briscoes in this state. And this is the same person who last time they faced off for the titles was like super excited to see like 95 super kicks in the match. All right.
Yes, definitely. I think the Briscoes win here.
That one's unannounced. Also unannounced. I'm not sure if it's going to happen. I don't know if there will be women. Like, you know, they've been pushing Women of Honor on a lot of the shows, but I don't know. This card seems kind of stacked already. With that match, it comes out to like 8 matches. Or so. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah. With that match, it's 8. So that's normally the number they do for pay-per-view, and it starts at 9, which is the only thing that I'm like, oh, I wish it started at 8 o'clock because I'm old and it's a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway. So then the card proper that's been announced, you have Matt Taven versus Will Ospreay. I don't see, you know, Ospreay's not around a lot anymore. Taven just had a match with Flip Gordon. I believe it was on the... ROH Elite. That was a VOD that went up recently. I thought it was like a, for me, it was a preview to this match. In that, like, you have a high flying guy, and how is Taven's heel style going to like work with that? So he's like really working on keeping him grounded. I don't see a reason really for Ospreay to win here. To be honest, I mean, they're kind of pushing Taven a little bit more as a singles recently. So I actually think that Taven ends up going over on Ospreay here.
Yeah, and you could easily have the Kingdom, mm-hmm. you know, get involved and distract Ospreay or push him off the top rope or anything of that nature. So, you know, that makes a lot of sense going there. And it's definitely good booking on their part. You know, bro Taven in the ring with someone like Flip Gordon, like you said, as a prelim, you know, to this match.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be really good. The Kingdom hasn't been announced for a match. They've actually, at least TK O'Ryan is, I think Ring of Honor put out something like, you know, check out Final Battle, and they're like, hey, you know what, maybe I'll be excited about Final Battle if you guys give us a match. So nothing's been announced, but I think that maybe they come out and do that, you know, to kind of get their revenge.
Right.
There's probably going to be
the dogs on the pre-show.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I don't know how often, because Scorpio Sky, I haven't read anything about him being with the company permanently, so I'm not sure if he's just making appearances.
Yeah.
So if he's going to be there, and then you also figure like Coast to Coast sometimes, so maybe like you have a like Kingdom versus Coast to Coast versus the dogs to start off,
yeah,
you know, the pay-per-view. Like that'd be the dark match. Then we have a match I'm really excited about, Jay Lethal versus Marty Scurll. So, you know, essentially...
First time they've wrestled singles-wise?
So I want to say that. I want to say you're right.
Definitely in a big match.
Definitely a big match. Like, you know, if it was maybe early on when Marty first came in type of thing, but
right.
I don't – in def maybe like in some sort of tag, but never one-on-one like this.
Right.
And
no TV title defenses or anything like that?
Nope.
Okay. And so
I don't know if you've seen the footage, but Skrull essentially came out and was like, I'm looking for the old Jay Lethal. The guy who used to be a villain, the guy who used to take the shortcuts, you know, like whatever, used to do anything he could to win. And then something that I've been waiting for a long time, as you know, I watch all the VODs, every minute of them. I want there to be continuity on the VODs. And on the VODs, they basically had, like, Marty came out and they did it on TV where he offers Jay the umbrella to cheat to win. And then Jay doesn't do it. You know, they had Marty had a match with the Beer City Bruiser where there was a ref bump, and you know, Jay's watching from the ramp, and Skrull uses the umbrella to knock Bruiser out, and he's just looking up like, okay, I see what you do. I mean, by the way, nothing. I love when a dude just comes out to watch the match from the ramp and then just leaves. Like that's my favorite. I love that. I mean, I guess it's mind games, right? But I always like the idea, like, I want to see this up close. Like, the cameras are actually pretty good. You should probably just watch it on TV. But I think it's great, the story of Jay being a good guy now. And I think there's going to be – I expect there to be a Roddy Piper, Bret Hart, WrestleMania 8 moment where Lethal has the opportunity. He has the weapon in his hand. He tosses it aside. And then Skrull ends up winning because Lethal lacked that killer instinct to go for it when he could have.
Right. You can definitely see that. And he throws it to the side and then Marty uses it or something like that.
It's going to be so good.
You know, I think the finish here is Lethal goes for the lethal injection and backflips into the chicken wing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, but of course... First, Marty has to call Chicken Wing, not hit it, and then that happens. Man, lately it's been weird because he's been doing some more comedy, like a lot more comedy stuff on the VODs. Like he was teaming with Paige, and they'd go to do, like they'd put someone in the corner, and they go to splash him, and Paige hits the clothesline, whatever, and then as Marty runs in, boot to the face. But then Paige goes back, clothesline. Then Marty runs back, boot to the face. When they were doing the during Global Wars, if Marty was with the Elite, like they would all jump off somewhere and like, you know, backflip or something, and then Marty would try to go do it and he would mess up, like he just couldn't like flip over, like they kept encouraging him. So they were doing a little bit of comedy stuff. So I'm kind of glad that this match is happening because I feel it'll be more serious, but that I don't care what anyone says. When he hypes up the crowd and he's jumping up and back and forth, like getting the crowd to get excited, and then goes chicken wing. I mean, and then doesn't hit it ever. It's one of my. I can watch that 1,000 times and not get bored of it.
Yeah, it's great. Marty is one of the most entertaining guys out there today, and you know that comedy aspect has always been, you know, part of his character with the Party Marty and all that's kind of. You know, there's been some underlying comedy there, and he's just so charismatic and so good, and it comes off so natural. And, you know, that's definitely a byproduct of being the Elite lately, where, you know, he's had some more freedom and, you know, to just be a clown and do some more fun stuff there. So I'm going to say Marty gets the win here and, you know, setting up for future things down the line between these guys, but. You know, he needs the win to establish himself in Ring of Honor.
Then we have War Machine, Hanson and Rowe versus The Addiction, Daniels and Kazarian. So essentially, Kazarian and Daniels have been playing heels by not giving the fans what they want, you know, walking out on matches and stuff like that. They had some issues with War Machine, and a couple weeks ago they went to go they basically attacked War Machine in the aisle. They got into a brawl. Ray Rowe goes to throw Kazarian into the barricade, and Kazarian shifts and it hits a girl in the face in the crowd. She starts bleeding profusely, which apparently got Ray Rowe suspended. I think what actually happened was he went on his honeymoon or something with Sarah Logan. Oh, they were going away somewhere, so they had to write him off TV there. I don't know who wins this match because, okay, on paper, I say the Addiction has been being really annoying, and War Machine, they're the faces. They'll come in as powerful guys, and they'll get, you know, they'll get the one up on the heels over here. On the other hand, they're not going to be, or they haven't been around. I know the World Tag League's going on, so that's one of the reasons. But, I mean, throughout the last couple months, they haven't been super consistent. So, I wouldn't think it's crazy to see the Addiction win and continue this where heels because we're going against what the fans want type thing.
Yeah, it could definitely go either way. You know, War Machine has earned the top at the a spot on top of the tag team card there in Ring of Honor, and you know they're two huge guys, so they're never underdogs or never out of the match. So you know they can always pick up the win, but. This kind of makes sense for an Addiction weaselly win, but you know, with Marty maybe getting one, yeah. And, you know, maybe someone else getting
the Briscoes,
one down
the
line.
Yeah.
I don't think the Briscoes will cheat to win. I don't think they need to do
Okay,
but,
okay.
You know, like the weaselly kind of win. You know, it could happen here, and maybe that doesn't happen in any other match. But I'll say War Machine gets the win just because they're big in New Japan, and that usually helps. Maybe this will be their like coming back party in Ring of Honor.
So I'll say War Machine wins, and despite the fact that I don't like this kind of ending, right at the very end, like they have a regular good match. The Addiction, like they pull, you know, they're getting pinned. Kazarian pulls Daniels out. They leave, count out, and then we'll have another match down the road.
Yeah, makes sense.
All right, so for the six-man tag team championships, we have the Hung Bucks, Adam Page, Matt and Nick Jackson defending against Flip Gordon, Dragon Lee, and Titan. What are your thoughts on this match? Is this the match you're most looking forward to?
Not even close. this will be fun. You know, the Bucks and Page are just great, and the other three are, you know, fun to watch. There's going to be a lot of chaos going on here, but I don't want to see Flip Gordon and Titan and Dragon Lee win. So I'm really going to be pulling for the Hung Bucks, and I think they could and should get the win.
I want commentary to call Gordon's name like a Spanish accent and say Flip Gordon the entire time. Yeah, I don't listen. Dragon Lee and Titan actually got tag team title shots, I believe, recently. They actually do team down in Mexico. Gordon, you know, has these issues with the Young Bucks. See, if it was Gordon and two other people, I might almost say maybe they win because of what they're doing on the Elite. But because it's Dragon Lee and Titan, now granted, there is a TV taping the next night. So you could theoretically have them win, and then there'd be like a rematch on TV the first week, and then they lose it back because they'll probably be there. But I don't think so. But what I do think it's going to be amazing. Last year, you had Marty versus Dragon Lee versus Will Ospreay for the television title, and I thought that was one of the best matches on the card. And Dragon Lee is just absurd. Titan is equally as good. We know what we get from Flip Gordon, and obviously the Young Bucks and Page are a proven commodity. So I think this is the match that's going to... I don't think we'll have a surprise ending. I think the Hung Bucks will retain, but I think this is the one that you're going to have the craziest spots where you're like, holy crap, how do they do that?
Well, of course, that's any Young Bucks or any Titan, Dragon Lee, Flip Gordon match. You know, that's what those guys are around for, is to do the flips and, you know, that kind of stuff in those matches. So it'll be fine. It'll be fun. You know, but it's not really anything different than we see in any other six-man in PWG or some New Japan or stuff like that, you know?
I will be live at the event, and I will be live tweeting the flip counter for this match. I will count all the flips, not just flips, but Dragon Lee's flips, Teton's flips, Matt Page's flips. This is going to be crazy, and I'm really excited. The Books of Youth, it's gonna be great. Then for the Tag Team Championships, we have the Motor City Machine Guns defending against the Best Friends, Trent Beretta and Sexy Chucky T, who are, I mean, I don't know if we're following this, but in New Japan, they just kind of had an argument a bit, and basically Sexy Chucky T said that they're not friends anymore, and said that Beretta has a stupid headband, and he just, like, Beretta walked away, and he's like, we're not even friends anymore, so I don't know if they're going to play off that at all, and there's going to be some argument in the ring that's going to cost them, because I just don't see the Machine Guns losing to the Best Friends. Not because the Best Friends haven't been established as good, but I don't know. Like, I think you end up seeing the Machine Guns losing to a heel team. I actually think the Addiction ends up getting another run, or maybe the Briscoes next. I don't see it being the Best Friends winning here.
No, I would count on a Briscoes title win in the not so distant future. So the Motor City Machine Guns are the perfect team for them to kind of just run through and destroy, to put some sympathy on the Guns and build up their just badassness that everyone who's ever watched Ring of Honor has become so familiar with. So I'm fine with that and teasing some tension there. You know, it makes sense because after the tag league, Beretta has in line for a nice singles run in New Japan, and you know, I don't really know how long Chucky T will be around there, but it's awesome that he got this opportunity to be there and wrestle there, so that's awesome. But, you know, after this, I'm not sure how many more shows he has there, and unfortunately, I don't know what that means for him in Ring of Honor. So hopefully he's able to stay around there and do some nice things and have a good run there, because he's good, and he's a good hand to have around.
Oh, he's been great. I love watching him. It's like my choice here for them not, you know, for the Friends end up losing this match is not because of any problem I have with the Best Friends. I think they're fantastic. I love watching that. You know, the most devastating move in the world, where Trent walks back and forth like slingshots inside just to do the face stomp, and then. And then Taylor does the super slow slingshot senton, like, or handspring. It's just, I don't even know what you call that. It's so great. I really enjoy it. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. So I think it'll be a fun match, but I still think the Machine Guns retain. Then for the ROH World Television Championship, you have Kenny King defending against Silas Young, Punishment Martinez, and Shane Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, we could see a title change here. I'm not thrilled at any of the prospects of one, but it could always happen in a four-way like this. It would make sense for Silas to get a win, but, you know, it could go either way. I'm fine with King retaining, obviously, but yeah, any of these guys could get the win, I guess, except for Taylor, probably.
Yeah, well, here's what I think. I think Taylor, they're moving from him being like a hitman who's basically, he'll do anything to provide for his family and to make sure his daughter doesn't have to deal with what he did growing up. So you're kind of positioning, they are positioning him as a face now. So I would personally like to see Martinez and Taylor basically cancel each other out and they go into a feud going forward. Martinez doesn't need the television championship right now. He already earned a championship opportunity against the world champion at some later date by winning Survival of the Fittest. So have him feud with Taylor. Maybe he even goes over on Taylor so he looks stronger going to the title shot. So that leaves King or Young. I don't love title changes in a four-way, you know, if you're going to have it happen. But I think this, in some ways, the heel sneaking away with the win in the four-way makes sense. You know, Silas Young has been deserving of a title for a while. So, and Kenny's had a good run, right? I mean, Kenny picked it up in Vegas. I mean, that was the best in the world back in, like, June, or around that time. Maybe it was even, I'm sorry, maybe it was at All-Star Extravaganza, which was in Vegas. So he's had it for a bit. I'd like to see Silas pick up the win here. I love his work, and I think he should be recognized for it by holding a championship.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
All right, and now the main event, the last match we'll be discussing tonight, Ring of Honor World Championship match, champion Cody Rhodes defending against Dalton Castle.
Yeah, you know, we discussed this briefly last week. While it'll be good, it's a nice spot for Dalton, it'll be a great match, but how much do we believe Dalton is you know, going to get the win? And during the match, it'll be great with near falls and stuff of that nature, because we don't think he has a shot. But, you know, that hurts it a little bit. But, you know, we enjoy Castle so much, and he's so good. So is Cody. They're going to get us into the match, and it'll be a lot of fun. Maybe they pull the trigger. I doubt it. But, you know, this is Cody's ROH for now. So I think we continue to see that run.
I agree with you, but there's also part of me that just feels like this is the way it's written. It's so much the time for Castle to win. You know what I mean? This week on TV, they had a backstage interview with him. He was actually seated. It was like a studio interview type thing. And he spoke about how he went for the title the first time, and he came up a little bit short, and then Cody kicked him. And my favorite part is, he goes, "And you kicked me in the dick." And they bleep it out, and then they put a peacock, like, in front of his face, his mouth. And then he's like, "He kicked me in the dick!" Like, he says it again. And they bleeped it out again. It was really great. But, you know, the story he told is basically, you know, he did that to me. Then I went to challenge him, and, like, you know, he attacked me. He dressed up as one of the boys. Then he put the boys in a box and sent them somewhere, which apparently Dalton Castle can't find them anymore, so they're not around anymore. You know, and just basically, like, it's like building to this. So I don't know. It's storyline written for Castle to raise that title. But at the same time, we know what Cody is.
Yeah, like, I guess. But, you know, just because it's written in a nice way for the babyface, that doesn't mean, you know, that the babyface is always coming out on top. Otherwise, we wouldn't have good heels and that sort of thing. So, I really don't know. Like, the thought of Dalton Castle as the Ring of Honor World Champion doesn't fit right to me. I got it, nothing personal. It, you know, the legacy of that title and the flamboyance of Castle is something that's a strange, you know, but Castle in general and Ring of Honor is a strange thing. So I guess all of that goes out the window. But I don't think it's the time. You know, it is and it isn't. Like, you're not wrong if you give the title to Castle, but I just think Cody is so good right now and doing so well for them. It would be a mistake, I think, to take it off of him at this moment. You know, if he beats Castle here and we continue this run and he holds it into the summer of next year or something of that nature, and then Castle gets a win at Glory by Honor or Death Before Dishonor or next year's final battle, whatever the hell, you know, I think it'll be even bigger. You know, with some more heel work from Cody and something like that. But I don't know, because we could be headed to something with Omega or an implosion of Bullet Club. Who the hell knows?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, the other thing is that Cody's supposed to be defending the title at Wrestle Kingdom. I forget who it's against, but it's definitely like a Japanese talent.
Well, I mean, let's not forget, I believe it was last year when Kyle O'Reilly beat Adam Cole at Final Battle and then lost the title back to Adam Cole at
Wrestle Kingdom.
I get it, extenuating circumstances, but we could very well be seeing something of that nature where Cody just gets his rematch at Wrestle Kingdom.
And then
you know, not necessarily wins,
okay,
but, you know, he just has the rematch there.
That's interesting. The guy, I'm just blanking right now, but the person that he is defending against has already been announced. Like, it's not a Ring of Honor talent.
Yeah, I mean, they can make it a three-way or anything. You know, it's
That's smart.
There is that fine print. Okay. Card subject to change.
Yeah,
you know,
that was good. That was good. All right. I didn't even think about that. All right, so I'm going to have to agree with you. Although I think it's written for Castle to win.
Right.
I think Cody's going to win. But if Castle wins, I won't be like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened. You know, either way, I'm actually, whoever wins, I think I'll be happy in this one.
Yeah, I agree. That's kind of part of the issue here with the predicament, you know, as much as, you know, it's written for Castle, or as good as Cody is, that just makes it, you know, that much better in terms of we don't know what the hell is coming, and so we'll see.
Yep, and super cheap plug, but you guys should definitely head over to Ring of Honor World, ROHworld.com, where you guys can check out all my reviews of the VODs and TV, TV's episodes that come out weekly over there. Because, you know, heading into Final Battle, I know that a lot of people maybe don't follow the product the whole time, but the Final Battle becomes kind of a time where they really want to catch up on the storylines, and I've got everything reviewed over there. I'll have Survival of the Fittest Night 1 out by the time you guys listen to this, so you guys should check that out as well. And please keep your eyes peeled this week. I will have my written preview where I just kind of use different vocabulary words to say a lot of what I said here out as well, so you should check that out. But right now, I just want to hope you guys enjoy the interview with Mandy Leon.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Mandy Leon to the show. Mandy, thanks for joining us.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So we are 1 week away, just a couple hours from Final Battle. How excited are you about the event next week?
I'm extremely excited. This is the one of throughout the entire year in Ring of Honor that I look forward to the most, besides the anniversary shows. It's one of our biggest events. And the venue alone at the Hammerstein Ballroom is absolutely incredible. So I'm extremely excited for this. The lineup is amazing. I cannot wait.
So, you know, Ring of Honor actually started, you know, putting Women of Honor matches more. I mean, the fans have been clamoring for it. And they actually started putting matches during the Global Wars live streams that came up on ringofhonorwrestling.com. You know, you were away in Stardom. What was it like to watch, you know, a big milestone for the division there and being incorporated more while you were away?
Oh, it was great. As far as live stream goes, we were on a dark match live stream before this, but as far as a bigger event goes, this was our first big Women of Honor live stream that was a part of the event. And we were featured on a few TV episodes before this as well. We've had TV specials and everything like that. So for me to sit here and see the progress of Women of Honor and how far we've come throughout the past few years, it's really incredible. And to see it continue while I was in Japan as well was great. Overall, it's phenomenal to see where we are.
How do you and the other competitors in the Women of Honor, you know, deal with the fact that there is no title? I mean, I know that's something that people have asked probably 1,000 times, and right. I know that, you know, a lot of you guys want the title there. How do you stay focused, and how do the rest of the competitors stay focused with this idea that it's up in the air right now and you haven't heard about that yet?
I think as far as the Women of Honor go, we understand simply because it's more of a business understanding. I think the fans want it so bad, and don't get me wrong, we want it so bad too. But there's a way that Ring of Honor is doing it that makes sense to all of us, rather than throwing a title out there in everyone's face. I mean, you have to keep in mind, this is something that's never been done in Ring of Honor before. There's never been a women's title. There's never been a crowned charm of the division, so to say, you know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
Instead of throwing it in the fans' faces, I think they're taking the right route by saying, okay, you know what, let's take 2 years or so, and let's see who we want to be the main girls in this division, and let's see how these characters develop and where this goes, and create storylines. That way, when we finally do decide if we want this title or not, everything can make sense on what we're competing for because there's so much behind it, rather than saying, oh, hey, we have a few girls. Let's, you know, whoever wins this tournament can get the title. You know what
yeah.
I mean? So for me, it makes complete sense, and I'm glad they're doing it the way that they're doing it. I wish it could have been done sooner. Of course, we all want a title. But I have a good feeling about 2018, and I think we're going the right route. So the anticipation is killing us all.
Well, certainly. I mean, you yourself were involved in a storyline with Tanaya the Huntress. You guys had a 2 out of 3 falls match, and mm-hmm. of course, the no DQ match that has well over a million hits on YouTube with, you know, Taylor Hendricks, which was
yes.
you know the first of its kind. So you guys are definitely building stories there. Will
right.
there be anything going on at Final Battle?
Unfortunately, there are no women's matches on the card for Final Battle, with the lineup and everything being so strong. But I do know that there is going to be a big announcement during the pay-per-view, so everybody should definitely tune in. And if they're there live, they're going to love it. If you're watching live on pay-per-view, you're going to be in awe. So it's some pretty big announcements coming that people should definitely tune in for.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What matches are you looking forward to on the card? I know that, you know, in times before you wear many hats in the company. You're not just an in-ring performer, but you also do the recaps. I know that you've done a lot of the video backstage with and also before the show, kind of emceeing as the crowd is filling in.
Yeah, I do everything.
Yeah.
I do what I can without losing my mind.
So, but as a fan or as part of the company, what matches are you looking forward to the most on the card?
Oh gosh, I think right now the one match I'm looking forward to all of them. I always do. Like, I love these guys to pieces, and they always are just so hard hitting and amazing. But right now, I'm really looking forward to Cody and Dalton. I really am, because I love Dalton so much. Like, I'm a huge supporter of Dalton Castle, and just to see how far he's come, and now that he's back and to face Cody, I think that's going to be a really, really cool match. So, and Cody as well, like, you know, I think a lot of people kind of doubted him when he came into the independent scene and, you know, from WWE and things like that. But, I mean, he's really proven himself throughout his career with New Japan and on the indie scene and now with Ring of Honor as a champion. So I'm really excited just to see those two, just because of their backstories, go at it and their storylines within Ring of Honor. I'm really looking forward to that match the most.
That one's going to be super fun. I mean, Cody last year walked in, beat the gatekeeper, Jay Lethal, and now he's coming back to Final Battle a year later as a champion.
Yeah.
Who do you think is the better dresser, Dalton Castle or Cody? Because they've both been a little bit flamboyant as of late.
Oh, gosh. That's true. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, they're definitely larger than life. Gosh, I mean, they're so different because Dalton is, you know, just – I love him. I love him so much. And he's very, very just flamboyant and just working his style with the peacock feathers and everything. And Cody is a little different. He's more of like a dapper, charming, like very sophisticated and in your face, like the rich guy who just wants nothing to do with the peasant going on. So I think they're both perfect. When they had the contract signing and everything like that, I don't know if you saw that or not, but it was hilarious. With Cody's fur coat and Dalton's amazing jacket.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. So,
he,
you know, Cody's been rocking the crushed red velvet too, so it's pretty good.
Yeah.
So you grew up in Brooklyn. How did you end up training at the dojo? I mean, the dojo's not terribly far, but, you know, that would be difficult, I think, to mix back and forth.
Right. So I was actually born in Brooklyn, New York, but I spent the majority of my life growing up in Pennsylvania, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, which is about 1 hour and 40 minutes from the dojo. When I first wanted to get into wrestling, just upon doing my research and everything, I wanted to see the best schools in my area. And I just got fortunate enough to see that Ring of Honor was the closest, even though it's 1 hour and 40 minutes, a bit of a drive, but it was worth it.
And so you also, I know that you just recently got to go to Japan for Stardom. Now, you also are able to speak Spanish. How much do you have an itch to want to head down to CMLL at any point, especially with the partnership the company has?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, God, my Japan tour was something that I've been dreaming about since I was a little girl. So that was an experience in itself. But as far as Mexico, working for CMLL, yeah, totally. I've always wanted to study the lucha style more, and CMLL is amazing, and their girls are incredibly talented there, the luchadoras. So right now we haven't really – we've had their girls come here, mm-hmm. but none of the Women of Honor have been there. So hopefully in the future that can be the next thing. Maybe 2018, we'll see.
What is it like for you – I mean, the division just kind of got a reboot about 2 years ago, and now you're going to the dojo, and, you know, recently there was a Women of Honor tryout camp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're kind of going from somebody, the only person kind of in a division, to mm-hmm. then being, like, a mentor for others. What's that like?
I always say it's emotional, but also unbelievable, because when I was training at the ROH dojo, of course, there were female students before me, you know, Jenny Rose and things like that. But when I was training during my time there, I was the only female student. And all of the seminars that I went to as far as the Ring of Honor camps, that's included in our training. So I would take part in those, and I was always the only female there. There was never any girls showing up to the camps. And I understood, because there wasn't a lot of opportunities for women within Ring of Honor. But it still blew my mind that a lot of women didn't come just to get the knowledge and then the learning experience. And now to see just, you know, the hard work that we've all put into Women of Honor with just debuting and relaunching yeah. the brand again. But also now all of these women are coming to the camps and coming to the tryouts, and they want to be here. And it's not just independent girls that want to be here. I mean, there's former WWE Divas, TNA Knockouts that want to come and work for us because they know that this is such a tight-knit family, and we work hard and we're unlike any other company out there. So to see that, and I even gave a little speech on the first Women of Honor tryout camp, and I got in the ring and got a little emotional for it, because I was just so happy to see that many women following their dreams and want to be here. And like to see that I helped make that happen and helped develop that was kind of, again, it's just a dream come true, and it was unbelievable.
How do you, you know, moving forward, how do you feel about being like the head of the division in many ways and helping to make decisions moving forward, as opposed to maybe being in ring as much? Like, do you enjoy the role of being able to help that way and kind of give pointers and you know, maybe, you know, helping with the promos and things like that?
Right. Yeah, I think, like you said, I'm a woman that has, I wear many hats, but I think as far as like in-ring work goes, I'm still moving up and still learning, and that's something that's my passion. Like, wrestling is my passion. But I also have a creative side to me where if I wasn't wrestling, and even while wrestling, I want to do everything that there is that I can do within the company to still be a part of it. And that's why I always go out of my way to do anything that I can. If there's any job that's available, I always put myself out there. And you know, I don't get paid for what I do, all these extra things. I do this out of love and passion and just wanting to learn. So if there ever is a day where I can't do in-ring work, I'll definitely, I would definitely love to coach one day. I would definitely love to, you know, be the person behind the scenes that helps with videography and things like that, for sure. If that was to ever come about, definitely.
Certainly. Where are you working in any other companies or wrestling anywhere else in the area? Why, when you don't have shows for Ring of Honor?
Oh, yes. I work at Northeast Wrestling a lot. I do a lot of conventions, and you'll see on my pages I always announce different places that I'll be. I am accepting bookings. Since I've been home from Japan, I've kind of put my focus into Ring of Honor the last month or two. But in the start of the new year, I will be accepting new bookings throughout 2018. Excuse me. Yeah.
Excellent. And, you know, you've made appearances, I know, at the Big Apple event, the big event over here in New York City, in Queens,
yeah.
By LaGuardia Airport, and that's always a huge success. Have you had any surreal moments when you're there running into, you know, stars of yesteryear that you grew up watching, or that now in your studies, you know, as you're preparing for matches, that you've seen and you can't believe that you're like, you know, sitting at a table next to them?
Right. Yeah. I mean, conventions are always mind blowing, because I never thought in a million years when I was little that I'd be, you know, following my dreams. Not only that, but just meeting these people that I looked up to and like you said, doing business with them or sitting next to them or, you know, having them pass me by in the hallway and saying, oh, hey, Mandy, you know, how's everything going? And it's like, what? Like, what is my life? Like, what, you know what I mean? Like, how does this happen? But and you're like as an equal to them now, and it is crazy. Even throughout my short time outside of conventions as well, you know, just God, I mean, I always refer back to like Liger, for example. I had my first intergender tag match, not my first, but his first intergender tag match was with me. I was his first female partner ever in all of his career. He's been around forever. He's never had a transgender match in his life. And I'm like, I haven't even been wrestling that long. And I just like, what? You know, it's kind of like mind blowing. It's still, people who are in this and say, oh, you know, I'm just one of the guys, yada, yada. No, for me, it's still, I'm 100% professional, but there's still the little fan inside of me that, I don't show it.
Yeah.
I'm super professional, but inside I'm very thankful and in awe that my life is like a movie that I just can't believe what's happening in it and all of the things that I'm accomplishing. Again, because of hard work, 100%, but still it's so bizarre. I mean, meeting your idols and people that you look up to and working with them, it's an incredible thing.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Where can fans find you on the internet?
I'm on Twitter at MandyLeonXO. I'm on Instagram at MandyLeon. I'm on Facebook at MandyLeonXO. And I'm currently building my new website, which is www.mandyleonxo.com, because someone stole mandyleon.com.
that's kind of absurd.
Weird.
All right. Well, and, you know, obviously everybody can, if you're in the New York City area, anywhere, I mean, Final Battle is the biggest event of the year, so... It's definitely something to check out, and you'll be there as well.
Yes, definitely tune in. Like I said, there's some big Women of Honor announcements, so definitely tune in.
Certainly excited. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
All right, great to hear from Mandy before the pay-per-view. I appreciate her coming on the show. Thank you very much. All right, well, do we have anything else this week?
No, I guess we don't.
All right, with all of that away, just make sure you guys check out my Ring of Honor coverage at pwpounders.com and rhworld.com. You can check out my recent interview with Sam Adonis, who will be facing off against Negro Casas in a hair-versus-hair match on New Year's Day over at lastwinnerprowrestling.com. We'll have the audio up to you guys very shortly. You can email us over at runningwildpodcast@gmail.com and follow us at runningwildlws on Twitter. Please send us your comments. Make sure that you rate, subscribe, and review over on iTunes. It really makes a difference. And it's the holiday season. It's a time of giving. So give us some reviews. Hopefully 5-star. And we really appreciate you guys listening, as always, to the podcast that is just too sweet.
For Rich N. Runs, this is the host of Ring of Honor Wrestling, Ian Riccaboni, signing off. Be sure to join them next week for another episode of the Running Wild Podcast.